study on the restitution, the restoring of Israel. You remember that was the last question the disciples asked the Lord. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And that question was based upon their knowledge and their understanding that they had from the kingdom parables and from the old scriptures. I'd like to read a few verses, first of all, from the first chapter of Isaiah. Let's look at verse 26. With this thought in mind, the restitution, the restoration. Now, the more I study this, the more I look at it, the more I'm convinced that one of the most tragic things in the preaching of Bible prophecy in the last 40, 50 years is that practically nothing has been said about the restoration. One verse, and then we'll look at the context. Isaiah 1:26, and I will restore, that's the restoration, I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. And then the next verse says, Zion, that's us, the United States of America, shall be redeemed with judgment. Now that word there, judgment, refers to God's law, God's word, God's will. We're not redeemed by destruction. That isn't what it's saying. It's we're going to be redeemed and delivered by the word of God, the law of God, the gospel of the kingdom. And her converts with righteousness. Now, what did the prophet have in mind, or better, what did God have in mind when he inspired the prophet to write, I will restore thy judges as at the beginning. Now, was he thinking of the kingdom age? Was he thinking of the millennial age when the church would be ruling? Hardly. Because the church has never ruled. Glorified bodies have never ruled in Israel. Never up to this time. Now he says, I'm going to restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Now what kind of counselors did they have? What kind of judges did they have? Well, they had Moses, a human being. They had Joshua. They had the judges, all through the book of Judges. Read about them. Note what kind of men they were. Well, what kind of counselors did they have? Well, David had some counselors. Some were good, and some were not so good. One went and hung himself because they didn't follow his advice. You recall that? Now he said, I'm going to restore this type of civil administration that you had in the beginning. Well, what was it? Well, it was simply this, that civil rulers were the servants of the people, and the civil rulers had the responsibility of administering the laws of God. And the most significant thing that ever happened, as far as this particular thing is concerned, of restoring a civil administration patterned after that of the old scriptures, as we had, as he says here, as you had at the beginning, this actually took place at the founding of our nation, when the whole civil setup was based upon this pattern, this idea that we had from the very beginning, way down back to the time of Moses. when civil administrators administered the law of God. Now, it can't be a reference to the church. It can't be a reference to the full manifestation of the kingdom, because, as I said, the church has never ruled. We know in the kingdom age, the church, the body of Christ, will be ruling. Now, he said afterward, not immediately, not right away, but afterwards, in due time, thou shalt be called the city or the system of righteousness, righteous civil administration, the faithful city or system. And then he calls it Zion. He says, this is Zion, shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. And now we're coming up to the time that we're moving into, that we're in. And this is progressive. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Amen. Wonderful. That's what's in the making. That's the development. That's what's coming to pass. You say, well, it don't look like it. Well, now, if you're a believer, it doesn't make much difference what things look like. It's what God says that you look at and that you're occupied with. It doesn't make any difference what it looks like. It's what God says. Now, you look at the context here. Let's go back now to verse 26, 24, and 5. Therefore, verse 24. Now, he's talking about Zion, and we know who Zion is. No question about that. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. Now, there are certain people that the scriptures speak of as the adversary and the enemy. Certain people. Now, God doesn't speak of the Israel people, the Anglo-Saxon people, and God doesn't even speak of the heathen people as necessarily being his enemies or his adversaries. But he says, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And now this is what's going to happen to us. He's going to take care of the adversary. And it won't be long. Things are developing very rapidly. And remember this, God's method of dealing with evil and evil men is generally this way. The very thing they develop is the very thing that will destroy them. Now that's history. That's history. The forces that they set in operation and the schemes and the plots that they have against God's people, these very organizations and these very conspiracies and these very negative destructive forces that they hatch and that they develop and that they finance and spread and set into action, these are the very things generally that God uses to destroy these wicked forces and these adversaries. This is history. All down through history, this has happened. Now, he says, as for you, as for Israel, Zion, verse 25, I will turn mine hand upon thee. And thank God he will. Thank God he is. And it's better to fall into the hands of God than into the hands of the enemy, isn't it? So let's thank God that he's taking a hand. And everything you see is God shaking everything, God taking a hand. Now just be patient and understand this and have faith. Now God says, I'll turn my hand upon thee. I'll purely purge away thy dross and take away thy tin. Now what's that? Well, I'm going to take out the tares. I'm going to take out the rebels. I'm going to take out these sinners in Zion. I'm going to take out these negative forces, these anti-Christ forces. I'm going to turn the fire on, the heat on, and the fire and the heat will be on you. But as a result, the enemy will be exposed. He'll come to the surface. He'll be identified. You'll see who he is. The Lord says he's going to be consumed. Now that's part of the restoration. Let's take another very interesting passage, a beautiful passage, over in Hosea. Hosea, the 6th chapter. And this book of Hosea, similar to Isaiah, it deals largely with restitution and deliverance and the cleansing and the purging and also the judgment that God would bring upon his people. But now in verse 1 of chapter 6, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. Now he did. He tore us right out of Palestine. He tore us up a root and branch as far as the people were concerned, and he placed us in the Assyrian captivity. This is what Hosea prophesies about. His whole book is devoted to Israel, to us, the Anglo-Saxons. Now he said, God tore us up, and he sent us into the Assyrian captivity. But he says, and he will heal us, for he hath torn. And Hosea was aware of this. He saw this. He preached about this. And he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. Now what's that? That's restoration. Healing and binding up is the restoration, the deliverance, and the restoring of the Israel people. Now, verse 2, and this is precious because here we have a little idea as to the time. It says, after 2 days, or after 2,000 years, wouldn't you say? If one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day to the Lord, and that's what Scripture says, both in the Old and the New Scriptures, you have this. That one day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is one day. All right? We read, after 2 days, he will revive us. Or, he'll begin the restoration. He'll begin restoring Israel, whom he tore and whom he smote, brought under the judgment. Now, as I said before, I'm convinced that if Christian people are given a little study to the restitution, the restoration, and to this prophecy concerning the reestablishment of the Israel people, we wouldn't have all of this unfortunate preaching on Bible prophecy about some old Antichrist coming to rule the whole world, or that the Jewish people going back to Palestine, that was Israel being regathered. We wouldn't have had all of that nonsense preached, and Bible prophecy wouldn't be in disrepute among people as it is today if we hadn't had all of that unscriptural preaching and teaching on Bible prophecy. You remember when they used to rent the largest auditoriums in Minneapolis, and they'd preach on Mussolini was the Antichrist. And, he didn't pan out so good. Well, then it was Hitler, and then it was Stalin, and they had to have this Antichrist rule the whole world. Paid no attention to the restitution whatsoever. When it would come, how it would come, and the manner in which it would come, or where it would come. Nothing has been said about it. In fact, it's been completely overlooked and ignored. Now, Hosea said, after 2 days, he will revive us. There'll begin to be this reviving, this stirring. And my, what revivals follow. My, what revivals. In Scotland, and, well, all over the old world where the Israel people were. Tremendous revivals follow. The But then he says, in the third day. In the third day. Now note, he says, after 2 days, he's going to do this. And we've seen it. We've lived and witnessed this. It's history, much of it. But in the third day, he will raise us up. And he has raised up Israel. Israel today is regathered here and we're raised up to be the most powerful nation in all human history. More powerful than all the great world powers of past history combined. I'd say he's raised us up in the third day. He's raised us up. At least begun. And we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. As the morning. That's food for thought. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain, unto the earth. Now, as for restoration, we should take another very familiar passage. Let's go to Joel, the 25th verse of chapter 2. Now, here's something more about restoration. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Well, who are they? Well, if you go to the first chapter, you'll discover they are what we call today bureaucrats. Now, in the scripture, beasts, the lion, the bear, and these various animals symbolize governments. But these worms symbolize these negative anti-American, anti-Christ forces that sort of work behind the scenes. They don't come out to be elected by the people. They get appointed, you know. And then you just can't get rid of them. And we got so many now. We can't, they don't even know how many of themselves they are. We're just loaded down. We're sinking because we got so many of these. Now, God says, I'm going to restore. Now, here's something else in the restitution. I'm going to restore what these bureaucrats have taken away from you. And you're going to get to realize and understand what they're taking away from you very shortly when you pay your taxes. You'll find out what these worms have done. How they've undermined and how they've worked themselves in and what they're doing to the nation, what they're doing to people with property, and what they're doing to people that have initiative, and people that work for a living. You're going to find out what they've done to you and what they're doing with your money. You get some idea. Now, God says, I'm going to restore what these people have taken from you. What does that mean? Well, it's the same thing that we have in Nehemiah. When Nehemiah had a restoration, he restored to the people what had been taken away from them through this manipulation of money. Now, in order to see this, you have to also consider the context. He said in verse 26, in the next verse, and ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now, does this take place before or after the revelation? Now, I wish I could tell you this all takes place after Christ comes, because we'd like that, you know. Sooner Christ comes, the better it is, certainly. But I'm inclined to believe this takes place prior to the revelation, and I think it's in the making right now. Now let's just read on. He says, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Then he says he'll pour out his Spirit upon the handmaiden, and I will show wonders in heaven and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. Now, does this take place after Christ comes or before? Before, I think. Before. Now, one of the greatest developments in this restitution of all history, one of the greatest phases, one of the greatest developments, I believe, will be with the collapse of this present money system. When this yoke is broken and people have restored to them in the form of dividend, buying power, call it whatever you want it, when they have restored to them that which has been taken away by these worms that worked themselves in and got control and actually set aside Congress and set aside the president, set aside the Constitution. That's what they've done. Now, this is progressive. Then he tells us, and it's in verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, for the Lord, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Now, these prophets had a great deal to say about the restoration. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed. Now, it seems almost today, the more dismayed you can make people, the better it is. Well, that doesn't happen to be the case. The gospel of the kingdom has comfort and hope. Now he says, don't be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Now here again you have the restoration progressively coming in. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make in full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine, and that's us. We have no healing medicine. We can't solve a single problem. And the problems are getting bigger and more all the time. All thy lovers have forsaken thee. Now, who is this? We'll find out who he's talking about as we go on. It's Zion he's talking about. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee, and would to God we could get that across. Because of thine sins, thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee. Well, thank God. That's what he's promised to do. That's what he's going to do. Now he says, I will restore health unto thee, and will heal they of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. I should call your attention to some more in Isaiah. Isaiah 58. Now, this book of Isaiah from chapter 40 is practically all the restoration of Israel. Look at this. In Isaiah 58, this is spoken of this same people, this nation. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, verse 11, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old ways. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, and the restorer of path to dwell in. And that's Isaiah's prophecy again and again, that God brings this restitution to pass here in this great wilderness. And as he brings this restitution to pass and cleanses and purges us, then in turn, he uses us to restore the path for other nations to follow. He speaks of us as being the restorer. He speaks of us as being the lamp. He speaks of us as being the one that built up the highway. And that's God's restitution.
Thank you, Pastor Stachcliffe.